Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen and listeners, I am author G.D. Grace, producer and host of A Touch of Grace. I'm broadcasting live out of San Francisco Bay Area. Today's date is August 4th, 2011 at 8 p.m., and I am very jazzed and excited about this next guest that is on the show this evening. Today's show is going to be unscripted because, let's just face it, you just never know what curveball the day will throw at you. I wound up working a couple of extra hours at work unplanned, but I have to tell you about this next guest. I am so excited to have her on the show. Her book is entitled I Married Satan. Her name is LaDonna M. Smith. And before I introduce you guys and bring her on, because she's here with us right now, I just have to read you something about LaDonna so that you'll understand the power of this woman, the diligence of her. LaDonna has experienced situations in several realms of her life to include, but definitely not limited to, physical, mental, sexual, spiritual, and emotional abuse, homelessness, hunger, depression, and suicidal thoughts, just to name a few. Now get this, all of this was by the age of 29 years old, so we're about to hear her testimony. And I'm very honored to have her on the show and to get into the discussion about this riveting novel based on an experience with her and a former husband. So, LaDonna, welcome to the show. How you doing, girl?
I am so good. I am so amped up for this tonight. So, I'm good.
Well, you know what? You sound good. And after what you've been through, I just have to tell you, listeners, we're going to talk a little bit more about this book. Now, I wanted to read just this paragraph, and then I'm going to turn it over to LaDonna. The book I Married Satan takes us inside the life of a woman who suffered, endured, and eventually triumphed through a marriage of domestic violence and abuse. Eventually, she filed for a divorce and her blank ex boyfriend, lover, husband, you fill in the blank. She filed for an annulment. How? Because before, during, and after the marriage, get this, listener, he was still married to someone else. Whew. Okay. So, LaDonna, why don't you tell us, in your own words, a little bit more about you. Where did your life begin?
Wow, I say my life begins every day, okay, because new mercies are bestowed upon me every day, so I get a fresh start to life every day. Now, as far as in the book, I was 25 years old, and you being a male, you may not be able to understand this as much, but we as women, we get a certain age and a certain time when we say our biological clocks are ticking. And so I was 25, and I was sitting there like, you know, all my friends are getting married. My cousins are getting married. What's wrong with me? How come I'm not getting married and having kids? I'm 25. Now, see, back then I thought 25 and 30 were old, but now it's nowhere near old. 30 is like your life is just starting, okay? So I thought I had, you know, I thought I was ready to get married. I thought I wanted and really needed to get married. And what happened was I rushed into it. Okay, I was a materialistic gold digger. I can say that now because now I'm totally independent. You know, I'll go out there and work 2-3 jobs and grind, hit the streets if I need to, hit the streets legally if I need to, selling books. Let me clarify that. So here it is. I got married, so I thought. And one thing that you forgot when you were reading that last paragraph is that I did, in fact, file for an annulment after almost 5 years because I got tired of going through the cycle of the abuse and the drama and just all the games and everything. I filed for an annulment, but a month later, he filed for a divorce. That was the difference. And his divorce case won because he filed in a different area of the state. He filed in another city. So his lawyer and he, they pushed the case through, whereas me, I didn't think I needed a lawyer because I wrote on the divorce papers, just let me out. You know, I didn't ask for anything but my name and my sanity. And he couldn't let that happen. So that's where it all started as far as my life beginning again.
So I have a question that I need to ask you. Because now that we know a little bit more about you, to take it back even further, you had mentioned a couple of things like your biological clock ticking. A lot of people feel that way, even on the male side of the house, that, you know, you're getting up there in age and you want to experience the relationship. But this writing thing for you, because, you know, writing a novel is a huge undertaking. So... did you always have the ability to be able to express yourself from a literary standpoint?
Yes and no. I did, but I didn't know it. You know, I was a kid that used to get in trouble for staying up writing at night because I would write, like most girls write maybe like a page or two in their journal. I would write like chapters in my diary, you know what I mean? And they would be good. Like if I could find that diary today, I might actually have to publish it and just like take the names out because there was some good stuff in there. But I used to be like 12 years old and, you know, my mom would be like, go to bed, you have to get up and go to school. And I would still be sneaking up writing. You know, so I used to get in trouble for writing. In Maryland, we have these tests called the Maryland Functional Writing Test. They're like mandatory tests that you have to take before you graduate. Well, on my Maryland Functional Test, I scored a perfect score. So I've always had that embedment in me to write. I just never knew where to channel it. You know, and then let me just tell you this, too. The book came about by accident. You know, I was writing an article because after he got away with the divorce, I was like, dang, I'm going to be vindictive. I'm like, how can I get back at him because he won? You know, in my mind, I was like, he got away with this. But as I started writing a magazine article about relationships and, you know, at this point I was putting the business out there because I wanted him to get in trouble. Well, as I wrote about him and tried to get him dealt with, God started dealing with me and started flipping me inside out. So things that I had suppressed and hidden and forgotten about and just didn't want to think about, he started bringing to the surface. He being God, started bringing them to the surface. And when he started bringing them to the surface, he started dealing with me. So I was claiming that I was whole. I was claiming that I was okay. But all the time, I was really jacked up. You know, I was really a messed up individual who had so much going on inside of her. You know what I mean? I was like a jigsaw puzzle with all the pieces all over the place. And so eventually, you know, once as I wrote, the magazine article got longer and longer and longer. And before you know it, it's 162 pages.
Okay, so, wow. Okay, so I like a lot of what you just said, especially the part when you said that you thought that you were completely whole, but then in this process you realized that you were not and that God flipped you inside out. So take us back to when you wrote chapter one. Where was your head? Were you... in a state of purging? Did it begin like chapter one began the purging, the true healing?
No. Honestly, when I started writing the book, I was smoking cigarettes. I sat there with, I don't want to say the brand name because I'm sure they didn't pay for advertising, but I was sitting there with my cigarettes. Mind you, I was in church. I was doing all the things that I was supposed to be doing in church, you know, playing along with the facade of who I thought I was at that time and not dealing with the real me. So I was sitting there smoking cigarettes and I was had my little drinks and stuff and I just started writing. There wasn't any order to the book. Like I said, I was writing it for an article, so I was just telling a story. Well, the more that I progressed, you know, like the first time I wrote it, oh, let me tell you this. The first time I wrote the book, I lost the entire file. The computer crashed, the disk left. Everything that you think could happen for backup just disappeared, so I lost it. And I started over completely again, which was great because when I did it again, things started, even more information started coming out, you know, and then I shared with my mom and other people who lived that, you know, that time with me. I don't want to say horrific time because it wasn't, I'll fix that up in a second. But those who had lived during that time with me, you know, we started really being able to brainstorm and bounce ideas off. And, you know, they were talking about stories and things that had happened. And I was like, dang, I forgot all about that. So when I rewrote it, I actually got more information, more details, and I'm able to be more specific. And so I was able to remember things that I was like, dang, man, did that really happen? And it did, because I had the court documentation and the paperwork to prove it, you know, to say, hey, look, lady, you know, you moved to another city and you thought you were done with them, but really you have to deal with this part to get your complete wholeness, your complete healing process. And just like my friend TC says, he says, you know, it's process before the possession. And so I had to go through that process so that I could possess the destiny that God has for me. And here I am today.
Okay, so well, you know what? I love the passion in which you speak from, because it's honest and it's sincere. I tell you, when I started reading the book, because I'm going to read the entire book, because it was very captivating.
Thank you.
When you first met with, honey, thank you for sharing that with the world, because I'm sure that it will inspire. It's definitely going to inspire me, you know, because I've had my own share of near misses. But by the middle of that book, when you were writing, because I'm pretty sure, like you said, first you had the computer that crashed and you lost the original file. Then once you got into it, you got a little bit more in depth. So we could probably call that something divine, a divine intervention, because it needed to be told a certain way. So by the time you got into the middle of the book, where were you at mentally as a writer? Did you know that, hey, this is definitely going to be a book and this is an audience that I want to target? Did you know any of that at that point by the middle of the book?
I still didn't. To be honest with you, I just was writing, you know, and, you know, being a writer, once you start and you really start getting into it and you get that, you know, that mojo to do it, you're writing and you just keep going and keep going and keep going. And it wasn't until I started rereading the book after I had thought I was done that I was still, you constantly make edits, you constantly make changes. Let me say that, even if after your book is in print, you're always going to find something that you want to change or edit or fix or whatever. So I was constantly rereading. I used to sit outside on the step, sit in the bathtub, you know, anytime I knew that I could have time just for myself. And so I was still at that stage where I still thought I was okay, you know. So throughout my process of being transformed, the book was actually walking parallel with me, and I didn't know that. I didn't know who my audience was going to be because, again, remember, I did it to be spiteful at first. But what ended up happening was, like, daily to this day, I get emails and texts and Facebook posts to say, hey, look, I needed that book. Or, oh, you married Satan? Oh, you must have married his brother because I married him. One girl told me she married his whole family. You know what I mean? So it's like, and it's not, and this is what I really love about it. The fact is, it's not a black I Marry Satan. It's not a white I Marry Satan. That's why there are no images of people on the cover, because I didn't want it to be one race. I didn't want it to be race specific. I wanted it to go across the board for whoever may be experiencing anything that I've experienced. And see, this is another thing, Didi. People say that I'm crazy when I say that I'm glad I went through what I went through, because everything that I went through plays a purpose. It all works together for the good of those who love the Lord. And the thing is that it all came together because at each stage and each day that I go through this, because I'm still going through the process. Let me just put that out there, too. I'm not perfect. I'm not done. God is still dealing with me and remolding me every day. Okay? I love when he breaks me down, because when he builds you up, it's a miraculous thing. Okay? I just had to put that plug in there for my Lord and Savior. So here it is. When you're going through this and, you know, you hear men come and start sharing stories about how they may have been molested or how they've been abused. And you hear women tell how, you know, I was afraid, my husband cheated on me, I didn't know what to do. And with married people, I can never tell a married person to leave your spouse. That's out of order. But I can tell you to pray for them. I can tell you to talk to them. I can say go get counseling, go see your man or woman of God. And if you don't have one, find somebody to counsel you. I can give them that advice. So by the middle of the book, to answer your question, I just started really being dealt with. By the time I found out who my audience was, every day my audience is being defined. Every day I'm finding out a new person that book was supposed to be to.
Wow. Well, you know, there are a couple of things that you said in that. First of all, I know that you are speaking from the heart, and that's what makes it credible for me as a reader of the book. I was blessed because I'm considered media, I got an opportunity to get this book for free, but I would have bought this book all on my own, and I still am probably going to buy a book because I'd like a book to hold in my hand, and I'd like to have an autographed copy of that book. But you said that you and the book were walking parallel. You still had no idea that it will manifest into a completed novel. Okay, that's one thing that you said. But then you also said that God wasn't through with you yet. So this whole experience was somewhat therapeutic for you. So I want to get a little bit nosy. Okay. What drew you to Tall, Dark, and Handsome?
What I thought he had. I was a materialistic gold digger. Okay. I saw that he had a truck. I saw he had his own house. I had my own car at the time. I was working two jobs, and I was in school full time. But I saw it as a way of escape because, like I said, he had his own house. I lived at home with my mama. You know, at 25, I'm like, oh, this is for the birds. You know what I mean? So I saw it as a way of being able to get out there. He had his own business, so he said, you know, I had my own company that I was starting. And so it was like it appeared that we were the perfect match for each other. It appeared that we were each other's, you know, better half, and I was his, you know, his helpmate. It seemed like everything was there. But see, then you have to remember that one of the tricks of the enemy is to be deceiving. He's a deceptor. So that illusion was there. I was attracted to the illusion and the mirage of what I thought was there. But the actuality is that he was just a distraction from the definition of who and what God had for me. Okay? One other thing that you said, when you said that I was going through, you know, I realized that I wasn't completely whole. Every day I'm going through the process. I actually get blessed more when I hear people's responses to the book, not telling me how good the book is, but telling me, you know, their testimonies and telling me how, you know, okay, I'm going to give you an example real quick. There was a couple who was on the verge of getting a divorce and getting separated, okay? The wife actually came to my book signing, bought the book just because she knew me, knew my mom, knew my family, took the book home, sat it on the table, did not touch it that night. Apparently, during the night, her husband read the book, and, you know, because a lot of men are reading it because they want to find out what is making me say that I married Satan, you know, so they won't be categorized as Satan. So it's actually causing...
Okay.
As my boutique says, it's causing people to do an introspection of themselves because it's making you look at yourself to say, how can I prevent being categorized or a book being written about me? So what happened with that couple is the next morning, remember, they were on the verge of separating and splitting up. The next morning, he gets up and says, you know what, baby, I'll watch the kids today. He had breakfast ready for her. He said, you go have a day for yourself. I'm going to take care of the household and the kids. I want you just to relax and take care of yourself. They're still married to this day. This was in May. Okay?
So, wow, what a testimony. So this is the thing that I want to ask you because, you know, as a writer, you know, I'm always trying to inspire and touch someone. And listening to this recount of this couple that was married, that was on the brink, knowing that this guy took it upon himself, and that's another thing, you know, within our community, we're bad at communicating, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this apparently opened up the lines of not only his mind, but of communication between the two. So what would you consider your book to be?
I am so glad you asked that because I was sitting there thinking of the responses you were saying it. That book, which I have written in every note that I have, that is the voice of every person, man, woman, in between, whose voice has been silenced. Okay? When I say that, so many people have been dealing with issues that have been suppressed, or they have been dealing with issues that they have not been comfortable or trusting enough of anybody to share. So here I am. In the book, I'm totally transparent. No Maybelline, no mascara, no MAC, nothing. Okay? And in fact, when the lady was editing, the one editor I was going to go with, she was taking my voice out of the book. I said the best way for me to have the most legitimate testimony in this book and be able to testify, not test a lie, is for this book to be written exactly how I would talk. It's written exactly from my heart. My heart is on each one of those pages, okay? So here it is. What I do is I make it a point to say, okay, look, I went through this. I'm going to talk about it in detail and say, look, I went through this, but the operative word in that is that I went through it. I'm not stuck in it. What I was sharing with somebody earlier today is when you're going through mud, you know, the water and the rain, they make the mud loose and everything, so you can still pass through it. But if you stay in the mud too long and wait for the sun to shine while the mud is in there, you can get stuck. It becomes hardened. That's how I look at life situations. I can get through the mud. I can pass through it. I can clean myself off from the mud, but I'm not going to wait for it to cake on and bake and turn into something hard so I can't get through and I can't get over it and I can't deal with it, and I'm stuck.
What an analogy. What an analogy, and I love metaphors. GD loves himself to metaphors, and I'm so enjoying this conversation with you. Thank you very much. Okay, so here's something that I believe that all of us have to work at, forgiveness. So here is a paragraph taken from your website for the back of the book. After swallowing the pain, LaDonna was able to forgive the man whom she thought she had married and since had become stronger, wiser, more spiritual woman of God. A lot of people can't do that.
I know.
A lot of people can't forgive.
And you know the biggest thing? Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
No, go ahead.
No,
I'm going to let it burst. I'm going to let it burst out. Okay, fine. I can't hold it any longer. I am waiting to see him face to face, okay? In 7 years, I have seen him twice, but never close enough for us to actually have a conversation, okay? When I see him, when I saw him, I was able to look at him in his eyes. Even though it was from a distance, I held my head up, my shoulders were back, and I was able to say, look, you tried to break me, you tried to destroy me, you even tried to kill me, but look at it. By the grace of God, I am still standing. And not only am I standing, but even though I'm not what I should be, I'm not where you tried to make me be, I'm not what other people spoke on me, I'm not what I should be yet, but I'm not what I used to be. So now today, as Marvin Sapp says, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, and I'm a better person. And I really thank God, like I said, this is why I say I thank God for the situation, because if I hadn't gone through the situation, I wouldn't be the person I am. I would still be gullible. I would still be naive. I would still be weak. I would still be happy being broke, busted, and disgusted, whereas right now I'm to the point where I'm not comfortable being sick and tired, okay? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let's put it that way. So now I'm ready to be at the point where I can see him, and even though, because this is the next part that wasn't out when I did the book, he actually just got married 7 years to the day that we had gotten married, okay?
Wow. Yeah.
But hold on, there's one more little monkey wrench in that. He got divorced 2 days before he married the other girl. We got married August 14, 2003, so I thought. He married this last girl August 14th, 2010, and got divorced from the first lady he was married to when he was married with me August 12th, 2010. Okay? So I would like to see him because I would like to say, you know what, such and such, because I still haven't revealed his name yet, such and such, I forgive you. And actually, I want to, actually, tonight, this is just the divine revelation that came, I want to take it one step further and say, thank you for moving out of the way.
I love it. But you know what? I could tell that there has been a healing in you. So because this is your spotlight tonight, there are people out there listening to this story. There are people that are going to buy the book. I'm going to tell you that right now. They're going to buy this book because I'm going to tell as many people as I know, like I told you when we were exchanging text messages back and forth, that I've been telling people about it, and they want to read the book. It's a book that is definitely necessary, especially in these times where we don't know who we are wandering into the arms of just because we're feeling a little desperate. So the end of your book began yet another part of your life. So what was that feeling like when you, when it was finally edited and it was done and you had the book in your hand? What were you feeling at that time?
Oh, my gosh. I wanted to run and shout and jump and scream, and that book became my boyfriend, okay? When I got the book in the mail, when they sent me that proof copy to look at, because what you have to realize, this has been a two-year process, okay? I had a seven-year publishing deal with the company, and after I researched the company, I realized that's not the way that I should have gone. And I kept praying and saying, how can I get out of it? And one day they sent me a letter saying they're not going to do the book. I was like, yes. You know what I mean? But when you get that book in your hand, okay, first of all, let me say this. If you have a story, and this is for you too, GD, because I know you have six books, right? So you can be able to come
I'm
on into
on
agreement.
Two.
Well, that's six, so we'll say seven. Then we go. We'll put one on spiritual layaway. How about that? So here's what the deal is. If you have a story, if you have an experience, if you have a testimony, there's a reason why you have to write a book, a story, a magazine article, a newsletter. Because just like the Bible says, write the vision and make it plain. When you write down what God has allowed you to see, your vision, you have to make it so plain so that the next person who God has waiting to read your story can read it, can adapt to it, can relate to it. So putting, like, just summarizing that, if there's a story inside of you, get it out there because God has somebody waiting for you to read it. God has somebody waiting for you to get free. They're waiting on you. There is a nation that is waiting for you to release them. But until you're obedient and you do it, because I understand there are a lot of people who have, you know, had ideas and concepts that they want to write books or had the thought. If the thought has dropped in your spirit to write a book, now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next week. You're still up, and California is 8 o'clock. You know what I mean? 9 o'clock. this is the best time to write. The kids are in bed. You know, your spouse may be at work or in the bed. This is the best time. Go into your quiet zone. You're going to be watching TV anyway. You might as well have a pen and paper with you and just start writing something, okay? And so the best thing is
now,
that.
Now, on that note, as I sit here, love that food for thought for the listeners out there and the individuals that are thinking about wanting to write something. It's not only therapeutic, but it could be something that God is telling you to do. It's called sharing and communicating. But because I want you to have the final word, I just wanted to remind the guests, first of all, thanks everybody for tuning in to A Touch of Grace and supporting the show. We're approaching 10,000 listens. That's great. Definitely want to thank my inspiring guest, LaDonna M. Smith, for joining. Remind everybody that next Thursday on August 11th at 8 p.m., I will be interviewing Dante Morrison, author of The End of the Rainbow. And so with these final moments of this show here with LaDonna M. Smith, LaDonna, why don't you go ahead and take us out with something pretty inspiring, girl?
Whew. All right.
You got a minute and 15 seconds.
All right, I got you. I can do this. I got you. All right, there's a scripture that I believe is Philippians chapter 1, verse 4, that says, he that begun it for good things shall perform it. I'm summarizing it. The best thing that you have to realize is that no matter what you're going through, that's not your end. If that's not what God said that your life is going to be, and if it doesn't line up to what the Word of God says, this is your time to make a change. I spoke to someone earlier today and explained to them that grace is wearing thin. Not that God can't give us new grace, not that he can't give us new mercy, but if he's already given you specific instruction on what you're supposed to do and your task, this is the time to do it before he takes his hand of mercy off of you for being disobedient. Now, with all that being said, I just want everyone to know that, okay, I just want everybody to know that I love you and that no matter what you're going through, this is not the end. There's a blessing on the other side of through. Be sure to keep tuning into this show. Check out the book, I Marry Satan. You'll get blessed and understand what we're all talking about. Thank you, GD.
Love you lots, and thank you for joining in on the show, and you have a great evening.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.